Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and thank you so much for tuning in to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill. I'm so happy to have you here with us, and I think it's going to be a really fun episode for everybody tuning in now or in the future. Before I get started and introduce you to our incredible guest today, Dr. Whitelaw, I want to thank our sponsors, the people over at Markham Search LLC. Markham Search offers premier professional recruiting services throughout the United States, including temporary and full-time executive placement. So please do keep them in mind for all of your potential recruitment needs. Today we have with us Dr. Jenny Whitelaw. She is the founder of the Institute for Zen Leadership, a Zen master in the Chosen Ji line of Rinzai Zen, as well as president of Focus Leadership. She is recognized as an expert in leadership development and executive coaching, and has authored 4 books, including The Zen Leader. A biophysicist by training, she combines a rich scientific background with senior leadership experience at NASA and more than 20 years developing global leaders. Together with Mark Kiefaber, she developed the FeeBi to measure 4 mind-body patterns of personality and trains practitioners worldwide in how to apply their FeeBi in their work. She has served as an adjunct faculty to the Columbia University's Senior Executive Program and worked with some leaders in some of the top world's organizations, including companies such as Merck, Dell, Avon, Excel, Capital, Sprint, Cemex, EMC, Novartis, Hospira, Marsh, Ascension Health, T. Rowe Price, and Bank of America. Prior to that, Dr. Whitelaw spent 10 years at NASA, where she became the deputy manager for the integrating of the International Space Station program. She led a large-scale change effort to realign the management of the space station program using cross-functional teams. Her work became a model for other NASA programs, and she was awarded NASA's Exceptional Service Medal for her efforts. She holds a PhD in biophysics, as well as a BS in physics, a BA in philosophy, and a BS in physics, and is a 5th degree black belt in Aikido. I don't know about any of you out there, but I'm feeling underqualified to be able to interview Dr. Whitelaw. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Jennifer.
Yeah, wow. Where do we even start, Dr. Whitelaw? I mean, your background is so vast and impressive. Can you tell our viewers and our listeners a little bit about your history and how you came to become an author and to work for NASA? I mean, there's such a breadth of questions and experience that you have.
Well, I grew up in the space age 60s, where as a little kid staring up at the stars and being glued to the television set every time a rocket went up, I wanted to be an astronaut. That was my childhood dream. And it was something that just fiercely burned in me. I was writing NASA when I was 13 years old, saying, what classes do I take in junior high school to best prepare me for my life as an astronaut? And they actually wrote back, Jennifer, and it was not a form letter, because the opening paragraph said, it doesn't matter what you do in junior high school, but by high school, you want to be taking all the science and math that you can. And then they gave me a whole list of majors I should look into in college, including physics, astrophysics, aeronautical engineering. And I just followed that letter to the T. So I took every science and math under the sun. I majored in physics. I got a degree in biophysics by graduate school. And a few months after I graduated, I was working at Bell Labs and saw a little ad in a trade journal that they were accepting astronaut applications at NASA. So I had my application in the next day.
That's incredible. Oh my gosh, that's pretty impressive.
But what was exciting to me was they had called me for an interview, which, you know, was wonderful. And I did interview for the job. It turned out I never became an astronaut. I went into management, not space. I mean, NASA Oh, you look sort of interesting, but there were actually a million reasons why I shouldn't be an astronaut. And for a long time, I think I was, I think I got kind of lost in life because I was trying to hide all those parts of myself that I thought were imperfect or would disqualify me for this job that I thought you had to be, you know, so healthy and skilled for. So, but my biggest learning out of it, and it's funny how we find our life, is being who you are and how you can really give yourself away when you try to be all things to all people, but that when you express who you are, what you need to do in service of people, you find your true life.
So important, Dr. Whitelaw. And I just want to stop on that for a moment and highlight that to our listeners and our viewers out there. That is the secret to finding purpose. Your purpose is often in coherence with being of service. It's very rare. I can't think of a single occasion in all the interviews I've done, both on TV and radio, as well as all the job seekers I've interviewed over the years, where somebody said that they were fulfilling their purpose and that it didn't also simultaneously involve service. And if you can just be with that for a moment and connect to asking yourself every day, how can I be of service? And even from kind of a more spiritual standpoint, I love to ask the universe every day. I say, what is my assignment for today? One of my teachers, Dr. Michael Beckwith, taught me that. And then every day I literally ask, what is my purpose? And every time I get the answer, it's always the same. And it's always about how can I serve? How can I let go of the ego? Because it's easy to think we have to fit into this perfect little box in order to be what somebody else expects. But the truth is that just like Dr. Whitelaw experienced and many of you out there tuning in, your truth is your purpose, and there is a way to be expressive in it. So on that note, I'd love to know a little bit about Resonate, your new book. Can you tell us about that?
Well, in what you've just described, Jennifer, is a perfect example of resonance, because it's when we listen to life, when we listen for purpose, when we throw it, in a sense, to the universe, we're tuning ourselves to the energy that's there, the energy available to us. I call it universal energy in the book Resonate, because the human being is a very interesting mix. And I say this from a physics perspective, we are a mix of energy and matter. I mean, you look at yourself, your listeners look at themselves, and clearly we have a lot of energetic components, you know, that all of our senses are based in taking in different kinds of, you know, light and sound frequencies. We have even the vibe of a conversation is a kind of energetic component. And also we're made of matter. And I tell leaders that, you know, leadership really is the job of turning energy into things that matter here on earth, that matter for people. So it's really all about resonance, because to resonate is to vibrate with. That's what resonance means, to resound. In other words, to vibrate with. So what are we vibrating with? Well, we're always within a field of something going on, the energy of the day, a particular conversation, what it feels like to work where we work, what it feels like in our family. We're always in a field of energy. And how well we can sense that energy and work with it or vibrate with it, let it come through us, is how we manifest our purpose, conversation after conversation, day after day. It's how our differentiated nature, exactly who Jennifer is or Ginny is, comes up against the conditions of the day or the needs of the time. And as that comes through us, certain things will vibrate more than others. So what you can do with the day might be a little different than what I can do with it. But if we both sincerely ask, sort of, what's my assignment today? And we listen with a willingness to act on it, that insight arises. It's like putting up our antenna to pick up the energy that is ours to act on.
I so love that. I'm totally in resonance with what you're saying and frequency, because we are beings that are made out of frequencies. And it was really interesting. I was just interviewing, I'm doing a series with Deepak Chopra and Don Hoffman called Conversations at the Intersection of Cutting Edge Science and Spirituality. And week in, week out, we're talking about all these different topics. And there was some author today who we were talking about an article about frequency and the frequency of human beings. And let me see if I can pull it up. The other gentleman who had written this article, they were talking about, oh, here we go. It's the name of the article is Fundamentals of the Mechanics of Discrete Quantum Multidimensional Consciousness by Mohsen Paul Sarfarazi. But what I love that he said in this is he's like, listen, there's multi-dimensions. We can get into the quantum mechanics of it. But if you are going to be a human being living in this dimension, the greatest thing you can do for yourself is to connect to your own intuition, to connect to that inner knowing that you're talking about, because there is infinite energy out there. All the wisdom that we need for our purpose, for how to solve this problem, it's all there. And yet the noise stops us from hearing it because there's so much noise and static on the line that often we can't tune in to hear that soft call of our heart, our higher self, or whatever you might want to call it. So on that note, I would love for you to share a little bit about some of your principles and what you teach people as far as how can you be in resonance so that way you can connect to being a great leader. I think we're coming into a new world where leadership is not a devil wears Prada top-down phenomenon. It's a cohesive, collaborative phenomenon that's going to completely revolutionize how we do business.
Boy, one can hope. One can hope because we're in such a time of turmoil and we can certainly see things heating up and breaking down. You know, there's a resonance going on in our culture right now that is unmistakable where things are breaking. I mean, we're seeing how COVID has held an X-ray up to so much in our society, and the scourge of racism is being seen in new eyes, and so much is being exposed that we are seeing how energy builds toward what Malcolm Gladwell used to talk about as tipping points, places where things, we hit phase shifts and things change radically. And there are things in our society that are going to have to break before we'll be able to build back better on the other side. A lot of those pressures we're seeing right now. How can we work with it? You spoke about intuition, and it really is a key quality of the human being that when we can live, and I want to say this very intentionally, with the mind, body as one, not just in our heads, because a lot of that noise that you talk about is head noise, it's mind chatter. It's the ego with its habitual fears and thought patterns that will selectively notice certain things. It will screen in, screen out, and maybe it has its own kind of, I want to say, agenda, our, my to-do list, our busyness, you know, what I have, the groceries, the this, the that. And if I'm just busy enough, I can't listen to subtle noises. I can't listen to that heartfelt subtlety. I'm too busy. So the part of the touching intuition is to slow down enough and literally physically slow down our breathing. So we're dropping into a slower frequency that can contain more. And you've mentioned you've been doing some work with HeartMath Institute and coherence, but we can drop our breathing into a rate where our thought process drops slower and can go into coherence with our heart. And now we're starting to get our whole system where signals add up. One of the principles of resonance is when you can get signals to add up, it's just like waves on water, you get a bigger signal, a stronger signal. And the way that manifests in the human being is literally a stronger electromagnetic field. Mm. We become a bigger presence, a bigger voice, a greater impact. So that intuition is aligning our physical body to slow down and drop into the frequencies that where we can sense the rhythm of what is going on. And how do we sense that? Where, how do we feel that in the body? We emphasize a lot in my line of Zen training about dropping into the lower abdomen, the area we call Hara. It's H-A-R-A, Hara. And it's a center of consciousness. If you've been tracking the research, you know, it's a billion nerve cells and a center of consciousness in its own right. But it is, in a sense, our most primitive nervous system, the enteric nervous system. But it's a part of us that developed even before our sense of a separate self. That in evolution of the human nervous system, or in the evolution of animals, you know, even animals that don't have a sense of eye, you know, have a way to eat. And so like, this part of us develop, and you can tell this in kids, we learn how to walk before we learn how to talk. This lower body is developing before we develop language and skills and the sense of a separate identity. So in a way, by breathing deeply into the center, we can touch or connect with our own connected intuition that can feel what is going on, and then inform our conscious thoughts from this, I'll call it wisdom of connectedness, this broader state that in a meditative state would be called samadhi, that informs us, it informs the context of thought rather than trying to figure things out thought first, if you understand what I'm saying.
Yeah, absolutely. It's so funny. The solution is already there. And Don Hoffman and I were just talking about this about an hour or two ago. And we were talking about solving the hard problem of consciousness and how you come up with an equation. And Don, not to get too scientific, was talking about a linear route of first you do this mathematic equation, then scattering amplitudes and a whole bunch of weird physics stuff that I'm sure people, I wasn't familiar with a lot of it. And I said, Don, what if we just started with the solution? What if we start with like the scattering amplitudes and work our way backwards? And he said, actually, Jen, that's how we're coming up with new models of consciousness right now, is you start with the solution and then work your way backwards. And think of how many of you out there might be really wanting the promotion or wanting to get a job just to pay your bills. Or maybe you just have always wanted to become an entrepreneur. We try to take a linear route to get to things without realizing that everything we need to know is already within us, and it's ontological. If we start being the leader, like, I was not a TV host. At this time last year, I had never hosted a TV show in my life, and I had owned a recruiting company and done many other things. But I got a message when I was talking to the universe. I was like, okay, what's my purpose? Why am I here? And it was something totally divergent than what I had been doing for most of my career. And then when you do it, you just start being a TV host or being whoever you want to be, being a physicist, an astronaut. And then all of a sudden, everything else lines up because the universe is designed to support us. And I would love to know your thoughts on that, because you have a scientific background in physics and in biology. I would love to know how the science actually supports all these things that we're talking about that can seem a little bit far out there, right?
Yeah, they can seem far out. And I think there's... I'll use my own astronaut example to go back to that story. I wanted to be an astronaut, and I couldn't just think my way there. I couldn't just say, I'm going to be an astronaut starting today, because in a sense, the universe did not support me in that dream. Mm. Versus the universe did support you in becoming a talk show host, you know? So what's the difference between dreams that can be realized and those that cannot? This is where the resonance comes in, where things that really fit us will build energy. They will naturally build energy and can be realized versus things that don't fit us. So, you know, that what happened for me in my astronaut dream pursuit is I kind of quit listening to life. I was sort of hell-bent on my dream, right? And so I wasn't freshly asking the universe every day, you know, what's my purpose? I was more like, my purpose is to be an astronaut. So I'm going to do everything I can to try to be perfect, you know, so NASA will give me my dream, you know. So when you start from a place like that, there's something, and this is where the ego can be so tricky. You asked me for a physics answer, but I learned so much of this from my Zen training, because the ego wants to be safe, you know, and it has certain needs, you know, a whole Maslow's hierarchy of needs. It wants to belong and be loved and have power and self-actualize and all those things. And it gets some idea in its head about how to get those needs met, and then tries to distort life to make life agree with that. And so we can get thoroughly wrapped up in confusion when we just dream something up and then try to make pretend that life will agree with it. But if we get very deep and real with ourselves, a deep self-honesty, we start to see in us, and here's where resonance is going to happen again, what is true, what is not true? What is our relaxed nature versus what are we tensing against trying to make real? You know, if there's a feeling when you're on track where energy builds, it's just like the swing set of your youth. If you remember that swing set you used to swing on as a kid, that you could push the swing back and just let go. And by pumping your legs at just the right moment, you could build energy. Versus if you're like just rattling your legs on the chain and trying to work really hard at the bottom, you're not listening to the swing. You're not working with the larger forces, right? You're just trying to make something happen. And there's a lot of tension in the body. You're getting signs in yourself. This is a lot of work and it doesn't feel right. But when you're using the natural forces that exist, you're listening to them with your whole being and you're matching the rhythm, then you can build energy in a very natural way. And it's not exhausting. No little kid goes to the playground saying, I have to put in a hard day's work on the swing set. You know, it's naturally resilient. It's naturally builds energy.
That is such a poignant and perfect example. I am right there with you as you're describing the swing set. You know, how many of us have done that and have been the kid on the swing? And what I love that you're saying is so on point is I didn't even think of it, because when you're in the flow, when you're not attached to the thing, I think that's where, when we become myopic and single focus and attached, we actually are ignoring all of the infinite possibilities around us.
That's
and
right.
The way I'm like today, I'm a TV host. Who knows what I will be doing tomorrow? If I get a message of something else tomorrow, then I take off the TV host hat and I put on another hat. And it's about being in the fluidity of it without the attachment. And it always takes me back to a dear friend of mine who was dating somebody who was literally, it's so funny about talk about a lack of resonance. Whenever she would go to visit this guy, she would get in a car accident. She would fall down the stairs. Like horrific things would happen to her that it was just completely out of resonance for her to be with him. And it took her a good period of time to realize that. But how many of us have jobs, relationships, friendships, where it's literally, like you said, you're just kicking your legs at the bottom of the swing, going nowhere, wasting time, happiness, joy. And a job should not feel draining, no matter what you're doing. It doesn't matter. My nephew wants to be a garbage truck driver. He loves garbage trucks. I'm like, you do that, buddy. If that's what you want to do, you know, auntie supports you with it. But whatever you do, it should get you out of bed with a smile on your face. And you, like you said, it shouldn't feel like hard work. When you're in resonance with a friendship, a relationship, a job, a colleague, it's effortless. It's easy. It's just in the flow of nature.
I think a lot of people want that effortlessness, but feel, oh, I'm in these difficult conditions, or they're pressing in on me in a way that I can't feel that happy. Or it's easy for you to say, you know, you got to be the radio show host, but it's hard for me to say because, you know, I'm doing something I don't want to do. But there's so much in the attitude you speak of that shapes our energy. You know, that in Zen leadership, we call it the difference between coping with life, where we're kind of reacting to forces outside in, versus entering and engaging with life from inside out. And I loved your phrase about hanging out in the fluidity of things with our full engagement, but a kind of relaxed engagement and not attaching to the outcome, you know, because we don't get to control the outcome. We get to control how we engage the moment, how we take things. And if we're able to engage things in that spirit of service, going right back to where we started, then energy flows through us. As opposed to when we are engaging things, so I'll be comfortable, so I'll get my dreams, so I'll be able to prove myself, so I'll be loved, so I'll whatever, fill in the blank. There's a stuckness, and the stuckness blocks our resonance. So part of the process of really getting the job that is yours to do is how to unblock what's stuck in here. So this instrument, this mind-body instrument, can move with the fluidity of.
All right, we got to talk. So two things. One, I want to talk to you about how to get unstuck. And two, I want to address it out there in case somebody's tuning in for the first time or you're not familiar with my history. It is easy, to Dr. Whitelaw's point, to say, oh, Jennifer Hill has it easy. You know, she hosts a show. She ran a company. I remember when I was diagnosed with Asperger's, it was literally in the middle of my divorce. Literally, like I was like going through a divorce, which was probably partially due to the Asperger's too, for those of you not familiar with it. It's on the autism spectrum. And granted, I'm high functioning, thank goodness, but I go into this robotic, automatic tone. I apologize to any of you out there who have ever heard me. I just got feedback from a speech and it was all very positive. And one person said, oh, her voice was so monotone that I left the session. And I'm sitting there going, ah, the world is crumbling around me. And I'm like, okay, that's one person's opinion and it's a gift. And I get to learn from that and work on that. But I give that as an example because life isn't perfect. I could sit here and complain and say, this was hard, that was hard. Or you can look at all of these things as a superpower, whether it's a detriment that you might have, a learning disability, whatever you have is a gift and it's yours and you get to mold it and use it. And like Dr. Whitelaw is saying, just allow the fluidity of it to happen. Now, as she just pointed out though, that does take being in resonance and unblocking yourself. So I think one of the valuable things that I would love to leave everybody with today, Dr. Whitelaw, is perhaps some tips or takeaways on how people can learn to be more in resonance with themselves.
Well, in the book Resonate, which it comes out this October, the three general areas that I talk about in that book and give practices for are how to integrate. So the mind, the head, the heart, and the hara all get integrated. How to tune ourselves. And there's a lot of ways to even use the frequencies of sound to help open up energy centers in the body and let energy flow. And then how to tame our impulses, our fears, and our ego. Integrate, tune, and tame. And the practices of Resonate will lay out how you can do that. As a simple practice for people even listening right now, if you can feel in your body a place of tightness or where you go when you get triggered, you know, sometimes it's a whirl in the middle of the brow or a pain in the heart area or a tension in the shoulders. It's often where we carry residual or habitual tension. Notice what happens as you bring breath awareness there and just feel how you could let that settle down. How bringing awareness there can, if you have a feeling a little bit like a knot that gets a little looser. If you can get any sensation of that, you understand when I say that if you keep working these kind of areas, you can eventually drain that tension out. And when a muscle or the connective tissue is not holding tension, we become our most naturally resonant self. So one of my Zen teachers used to say, the body of a baby is soft and pliable. The body of a corpse is stiff and rigid. You and I are somewhere in between. And when we're able to integrate, tune, and tame ourselves, we can return our body to its more naturally vibrational state so that it will move more with the energy that it can absorb. It will sense more of the energy around it and know how to enact. Again, we're speaking head, heart, and hara, how to enact what is its work to do.
Yeah, I love that, Dr. Whitelaw, and that you just reminded me of something that I forgot to even practice myself. My significant other actually taught me a technique, and he said, listen, anytime you're ever doing an important interview or you have a really important meeting, stretch. And I was like, what? Why would I stretch? And he said, flexible body, flexible mind. And I never really had thought of that before. And just like the fluidity that you're talking about by breathing into areas and the little baby example that you gave, think of how rigid we all are. And even for many of us working from home right now, we're holding this tension and we're not taking the time to breathe, let alone meditate or let alone stretch. And there's a fun exercise I would love to leave everybody with too that one of my teachers, Arthur Joseph, taught me. I can hear what a lot of you are thinking. Okay, Dr. Whitelaw and Jennifer clearly have more time on their hands than I do. I have kids and I have a dog and I have two jobs I'm working. I have no time. What I would invite you to consider is the 168-hour exercise. Take 5 minutes, it doesn't take that long, to write down what you do with your 168 hours in a week. And I guarantee you, much like I did, people say, Jen, how do you take 2 to 3 hours a day to do spiritual practices? And it's because you find the time. When I did this exercise, I realized I had over 8 hours extra in a week. And you write everything down from the time that, you know, you spend at work to the time maybe you're doing social media. And then you get to actually bring attention and bring awareness and put an intention on what you want your attention to be focused on in life. And so for any of you out there thinking that what Dr. Whitelaw is suggesting or what I'm suggesting is not viable, I invite you to ask yourself, instead of why can't this work or that it can't work, ask how could this work? How could I, you know, apply these principles of resonator or other things in my life, and it's actually going to be easier than you anticipate. So those are my thoughts. Dr. Whitelaw, any closing thoughts for you today as far as any takeaways or anything that our listeners or viewers could do out there to bring more resonance to their life?
Well, as you point out, a lot of people feel they don't have time, and yet something you're never without is your breath. And one of the key practices that you can also work on is how to use a deep, long, slow exhale in each moment to face into it with your most resourced self. So there's a lot of practices that you can do in real time. And here you've got this incredible instrument to work with, this mind-body instrument to work with. What could be more worth your while than figuring out how to use it?
Yeah, I completely agree. And I think that it's hard to know what sort of breath to do. And I think some teacher I had spoken with in the last several months said to do the square breath work, which is breathe into the count of four, hold for four, out to the count of four, and hold for four, and then repeat. And I just like that because it's so easy. If you're ever sitting there going, what was Dr. Whitelaw saying, or what was Jennifer Hill saying? It's just an easy little mnemonic, is just remember the box breath or the square breath.
Yeah. When one of the things that I work with is to make it, I'll call it a rectangle breath, by making the exhale at least twice as long. So I just invite you to play with it. Why? Because the exhale is the relaxing part of the breath cycle. And so it helps tease apart tension in the body and drop the energy into a frequency range that will, is in a sense, a bigger container.
Beautiful. I love that. And if people want to buy the book, I know, can they pre-order it right now? And where?
Thank you for asking. It's available. Yeah, you can pre-order it on Amazon. Resonate. It's Zen in the Way of Making a Difference. And it comes out in October, but it's pre-orderable now.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Dr. Whitelaw. It's been so great to have you here, and definitely look forward to having you on other shows that we do, Conversations for Consciousness on Awake TV Network, among other things. I just love your energy, and I love having these conversations. You know, there's a lot of conversations that we're having out there today about how things are hard and how tough it is and how unfair the world is. And what if you had one conversation a day for something that was possible? Did one act of kindness, smiled at one person? Think of all those little moments of resonance, coherence, whatever you might want to call it, and how that would create a ripple effect and a greater wave of kindness, happiness, fulfillment, and purpose on our planet. I'm Jennifer Hill. It's been so great having everybody here today with us on Get Yourself the Job here on LA Talk Radio. If you missed any portion of the episode, you can always go to iTunes later in the week under Get Yourself the Job, or go to the latalkradio.com homepage or Facebook page as well, where this interview aired in the visual format. And we invite you, hit subscribe in case you're ever worried that you're going to miss an episode. Hit subscribe on iTunes, and you can find the past 4+ years of interviews that we've done. And it's really been shifting, much like everybody in the world is experiencing. The show started off as Get Yourself the Job, but really it's morphed into Find Your Purpose and Fulfill It. So thank you for joining us today. It's been a pleasure, and wishing everybody a safe, wonderful, and happy rest of your week.
You're listening to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill, only on LA Talk Radio.